Chapter 133. Same subject continued. We have glanced at their moral and religious condition. Let us see how it is with them socially, and in other respects. It has been said that the only way to civilize a people is to form in them habits of industry. Judged by this principle, the Tahitians are less civilized now than formerly. True, their constitutional indolence is excessive. But surely, if the spirit of Christianity is among them, so unchristian a vice ought to be, at least, partially remedied. But the reverse is the fact. Instead of acquiring new occupations, old ones have been discontinued. As previously remarked, the manufacture of tappa is nearly obsolete in many parts of the island. So too, with that of the native tools and domestic utensils, very few of which are now fabricated, since the superiority of European wares has been made so evident. This, however, would be all very well were the natives to apply themselves to such occupations as would enable them to supply the few articles they need. But they are far from doing so, and the majority being unable to obtain European substitutes for many things before made by themselves, the inevitable consequence is seen in the present wretched and destitute mode of life among the common people. To me so recently from a primitive valley of the Marquesas, the aspect of most of the dwellings of the poor Tahitians, and their general habits, seemed anything but tidy, nor could I avoid a comparison, immeasurably to the disadvantage of these partially civilized islanders. In Tahiti, the people have nothing to do, and idleness, everywhere, is the parent of vice. Tea there is scarcely anything, says the good old Quaker Wheeler, so striking, or pitiable, as their aimless, nerveless mode of spending life. Attempts have repeatedly been made to rouse them from their sluggishness, but in vain. Several years ago, the cultivation of cotton was introduced, and, with their usual love of novelty, they went to work with great alacrity. But the interest excited quickly subsided, and now, not a pound of the article is raised. About the same time, machinery for weaving was sent out from London, and a factory was started at Ofretitu, in Imeo. The whiz of the wheels and spindles brought in volunteers from all quarters, who deemed it a privilege to be admitted to work. Yet, in 6 months, not a boy could be hired, and the machinery was knocked down and packed off to Sydney. It was the same way with the cultivation of the sugar cane, a plant indigenous to the island, peculiarly fitted to the soil and climate, and of so excellent a quality that Bligh took slips of it to the West Indies. All the plantations went on famously for a while, the natives swarming in the fields like ants, and making a prodigious stir. What few plantations now remain are owned and worked by whites, who would rather pay a drunken sailor 18 or 20 Spanish dollars a month than hire a sober native for his ish and taro. It is well worthy remark here that every evidence of civilization among the South Sea Islands directly pertains to foreigners, though the fact of such evidence existing at all is usually urged as a proof of the elevated condition of the natives. Thus, at Honolulu, the capital of the Sandwich Islands, there are fine dwelling houses, several hotels, and barber shops, even billiard rooms. But all these are owned and used, be it observed, by whites. There are tailors, and blacksmiths, and carpenters also, but not one of them is a native. The fact is that the mechanical and agricultural employment of civilized life require a kind of exertion altogether too steady and sustained to agree with an indolent people like the Polynesians. Calculated for a state of nature, in a climate providentially adapted to it, they are unfit for any other. Nay, as a race, they cannot otherwise long exist. The following statement speaks for itself. About the year 1777, Captain Cook estimated the population of Tahiti at about 200,000. By a regular census, taken some 4 or 5 years ago, it was found to be only 9,000. This amazing decrease not only shows the malignancy of the evils necessary to produce it, But, from the fact, the inference unavoidably follows that all the wars, child murders, and other depopulating causes, alleged to have existed in former times, were nothing in comparison to them. These evils, of course, are solely of foreign origin. To say nothing of the effects of drunkenness, the occasional inroads of the smallpox, and other things which might be mentioned, it is sufficient to allude to a virulent disease which now taints the blood of at least two-thirds of the common people of the island, and, in some form or other, is transmitted from father to son. Their first horror and consternation at the earlier ravages of this scourge were pitiable in the extreme. The very name bestowed upon it is a combination of all that is horrid and unmentionable to a civilized being. Distracted with their sufferings, they brought forth their sick before the missionaries, when they were preaching, and cried out, "Lies, lies, you tell us of salvation, and, behold, we are dying. We want no other salvation than to live in this world. Where are there any saved through your speech? Pomeroy is dead, and we are all dying with your cursed diseases. When will you give over?" At present, the virulence of the disorder, in individual cases, has somewhat abated, but the poison is only the more widely diffused. How dreadful and appalling, breaks forth old Wheeler, the consideration that the intercourse of distant nations should have entailed upon these poor, untutored islanders a curse unprecedented, and unheard of, in the annals of history. In view of these things, who can remain blind to the fact that, so far as mere temporal felicity is concerned, the Tahitians are far worse off now than formerly, and although their circumstances, upon the whole, are bettered by the presence of the missionaries, the benefits conferred by the latter become utterly insignificant when confronted with the vast preponderance of evil brought about by other means. Their prospects are hopeless. Nor can the most devoted efforts now exempt them from furnishing a marked illustration of a principle which history has always exemplified. Years ago brought to a stand, where all that is corrupt in barbarism and civilization unite, to the exclusion of the virtues of either state, like other uncivilized beings, brought into contact with Europeans, they must here remain stationary until utterly extinct. The islanders themselves are mournfully watching their doom. Several years since, Pomeroy too, said to Tyerman and Bennett, the deputies of the London Missionary Society, "You have come to see me at a very bad time. Your ancestors came in the time of men, when Tahiti was inhabited. You are come to behold just the remnant of my people." Of like import was the prediction of Tiarmer, the high priest of Peri, who lived over 100 years ago. "I have frequently heard it chanted, in a low, sad tone, by H. Tahitiana. Hari tafo, atoro taferero, anau ta tararda. He palm tree shall grow, the coral shall spread, but man shall cease." Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.